Back to the passage where we were, we're just going to read a few verses up. So Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, that's on page 971. So Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, and we're going to read through to verse 34. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about the clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
If you will please keep that passage open in front of you, because we'll be looking at that as we go through this talk. And let's pray for God to help us as we look at his word together. Father, please would you help us to understand these verses, and not just to know what they say, but please would the truths in this passage challenge us and sink deeply into our hearts. Father, please, by your Spirit, would you be at work among us now as we look at your word together. Amen. Well, we've already said that we should be thankful. We've said that over and over again, haven't we? That we should be thankful to God for all that he gives us, for everything we have, our homes, our income, even things that we maybe think about as being things we do, that we bring those things in. Actually, we need to recognise they come from God. We need to thank God for our families, for everything that we have, for our schools, for our education, for everything that there is. And yet, actually, the focus of this passage, and this is why we had the surrounding bits read just now, we didn't just read the bits about the birds and the flowers, the reason why we looked at looking at a wider bit is because the point that Jesus is getting across in this is that he is making a warning. He is saying, be careful, watch out. Because those things that we're saying that we need to thank God for, all the things that we have, all that we are, they can be dangerous if we make those things the centre of our lives. If we make those what we're all about. That is what the Bible calls greed. Now, as soon as I say that, probably everyone here, and if you're not a Christian as well, you're probably immediately thinking, great, well, that's not me. Because most of us don't think we're greedy. I won't do it, but if you did a hands-up poll of everyone who thinks they're greedy, probably no one would put their hands up. Because we don't tend to think we are. The Bible says that's because greed is not like other vices. It's not like other bad things we do. Greed is deceptive. Jesus tells us elsewhere, watch out for greed. Because you can slip into it and not realise you have. That's not like other things, is it? You can't commit adultery and not realise you have. You don't sort of wake up in the morning and go, hang on a minute, you're not my wife. Oh, what have I done? No, but greed is deceptive because it can take hold of us and we don't realise it. And actually, we probably, each one of us, need to be looking at our own lives and saying, well, now, hang on, am I living for the things of this earth, for earthly possessions? And we'll think about that as we go through this. And it's an important thing to think about whether you're a Christian or not a Christian today. And so we're going to see what Jesus says about earthly treasures, you see on the screen, earthly treasures versus God. And comparing those two things, he contrasts those two things in this passage. So the first thing he says about those things is this. You've got the temporary and you've got the eternal. Things that only last for a short time and things that last forever. And you see that in the verses. Just have a look down again, would you? Verses 19. Jesus makes this very clear. Verse 19. He says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So Jesus is clearly saying, he says, don't set your heart on things of this world, which are inherently temporal. They won't last. They'll rust. They'll be destroyed. They could be stolen. Don't set your heart on things of this world. And if we're honest, we know that the things that so often we chase after in this world are only temporary. They could be destroyed. Some people love chasing after, chasing after cars. That makes it sound like they're running down the motorway after them. But people love going for cars, going for the next car. What's going to be the next one? Even if they don't set their hearts on the really fancy cars, they might set themselves on, right, I just want to get the next slightly better one so that it's really good. My children, sometimes in the car, when we're on car journeys, like spotting the really nice cars. And the ones they seem to look out for are Lamborghinis, I think. Yeah, you like looking out for them. They like looking out for them. They like looking out for the nice-looking cars. And of course you do. When you spot one that looks really good, you think, oh, well, that's a nice car. Now, I think I'm probably a bit of a party pooper, because what I then say sometimes is, don't forget that those cars, those fancy cars, they are just going to end up as buckets of rust in the end. Well, it's a bit of spoiling the fun, isn't it? But nevertheless, it's true, though, isn't it? However fancy your car is, whether it's a really posh one, whether it's a really boring, ordinary one, in the end, it will end up as a scrap on the scrap heap. At some point. Maybe it'll end up in a museum if it's that amazing. But probably, at some point, even then, it will end up on the scrap heap. At some point. But do you see, that's true of all earthly treasures. They will fade, they will rust, they will go. Whether it's your house, at some point you'll move out of it. Or whether it's your money, that can come, that can go. It can go up, it can go down if you've invested it, and you could lose it all. Everything that we have is temporary. And you know the biggest thief? The biggest thief is death. Not because it steals our things away, but because it steals us away. It takes us away. After death, the poorest person and the richest billionaire will have exactly the same amount of money. Nothing. All the things of this earth are temporary. And you may well be thinking, and if you're not a Christian, you might well be thinking, well, but what else is there in this world? Of course we live for the things of this earth. But actually Jesus says, did you see? He says, it is possible to live for something that will last forever. Do you see? He says that, verse 20. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. He says it's possible to live this life for things that will last forever. Isn't that brilliant? That he would say that. That we can do that. To live for things that will last forever. And we'll think more about that in a few moments. But Jesus says, the things of this earth are temporary, the things of God are eternal. Which are you going to set your heart on? Second thing Jesus says is you can't have both. We're going to skip over the little bit where it talks about the eye being the lamp of the body and that sort of thing. just because it would take a bit longer to explain. But go down to verse 24. He says, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. So Jesus is saying, look, you might well have thought, well, can't I do both? I'll go for the things of this earth Monday to Saturday, and then Sunday I'll come to church and I'll worship God. I can do both. I can chase after both. The things of this earth, I'll go for the career that will get me more money coming in so that my family can have the lifestyle that I would love them to have. I'll work for that Monday to Saturday. Sunday I'll come along and I'll just worship God, and there we go. I'll do both. But Jesus says you can't do both. You cannot serve two masters. It would be like a waiter in a restaurant. Sometimes you see them if they're understaffed. You've got one person at one table wanting their starters, another person wanting their bill, another person wanting desserts, another person's just spilt a bottle of wine all over the place and needs it all clearing up. And the poor waiter doesn't know where to go, doesn't know who to help, and gets fed up. Jesus is saying that'll be like you if you try to live for the things of this earth and for God, because you can't do both. They will pull you in different directions. And you can see that as you look at what the Bible teaches. Because if you're living for the things of this earth, one example would be if you're living for the things of this earth, you will want to use your money to get those things. Yes, you might give your money away to some things if it makes you feel better, feel like you should. But basically, you'll want to use your money on you, on your holidays, on your gadgets, on your things, so that you can have the best things. But God says to us, actually, if you know me and you know my love and you know my generosity, you've got to be generous with your money. And so we'll go through Monday to Saturday wanting the things of this world and feeling guilty that we know that God says be generous, but actually we want to use that money on ourselves. And we'll end up getting frustrated about it. And what you see when people try to do this is exactly what Jesus says. He says, at some point, you're going to despise one of them and love the other. And that's what you see. And generally, when people try to do this, they end up despising God, because what they really want are the things of this world, and God's getting in the way of their fun. And so they start getting annoyed with God and get bitter towards him. And Jesus warns us here. He says it straight, doesn't he? You cannot do both. You can't do both. Third thing he says is about worry versus trust. Now, you'll have seen as we read through the passage, we read this bit twice. There's a lot of times where Jesus says, do not worry. But do you notice? Have a look at verse 25. It begins with a really important word. Jesus begins verse 25 with the word, therefore. So he's just said, you can't serve both God and money. You can't do both. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. He's saying, if you can't do both, if you pursue God, you don't need to worry. That's what the therefore is saying, isn't it? If you're pursuing the things of this earth, you're going to worry. And that's true, isn't it? We do worry because the things of this world are fragile. And if they're at the centre of our lives, we're going to be really worried about them. We're worried about our investments, worried about our pensions, worried about our homes, worried about security in all kinds of ways. We try to get that security by having more money, but then we get more anxious about whether that money is safe, whether it's going to be okay, are we going to be all right? And we can see this in the society that we live in. We live in a society which is incredibly wealthy. We are incredibly wealthy. I mean, you might not think of yourself as wealthy because you compare yourself to billionaires, where you watch TV programs, where you see the billionaires with their lifestyle, and you think, well, I don't have that, so I'm not very rich. But actually, throughout history and throughout the world, we are incredibly wealthy. It may not strike you as unusual, but you can go out and buy food whenever you want. You can have meat every meal if you want. There are some cultures around the world where you go, we don't eat meat every day because it's a luxury to eat meat. We can have it whenever we like. You can go and buy your designer labels and you have no worries about doing that. But some people, just buying clothes is a big deal, isn't it? We have so much wealth. We can change our gadgets every year if we want to. You can get the latest iPhone, even though you can't plug your headphones into it. And you go, I can change it. I can do whatever I like on those things. We are so wealthy. Now, none of those things are bad in and of themselves, but we are also incredibly anxious, aren't we? There's a report recently, so lots of reports recently, about the level of mental health problems there are, and particularly with anxiety. Now, I know there are all kinds of problems, all kinds of reasons for people being anxious about things, but just notice, from a sort of stepping back point of view, don't you think it's interesting? We are some of the wealthiest people on Earth throughout history, and yet the levels of anxiety just go up and up. Isn't that interesting? Don't you see? This is what Jesus is saying. We set our hearts on the treasures of this earth. We will be anxious. We will be worried. But Jesus says, actually, learn the lesson from the birds. Learn the lesson from the flowers. And we thought about this earlier, didn't we? It says, actually, God provides for the birds. He provides for the flowers. Because Jesus isn't just saying, know that God exists. He says, let me tell you about God's character. Let me tell you what God is like. And he uses a word which comes up a couple of times. Verse 26, he says, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? And then when he's talked about the flowers, a little bit further down, he says, verse 32, for the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them. See, Jesus is saying that at the centre of the universe, at the centre of all that there is a God who is loving and who cares. He is the ultimate Father. And if he loves us more than flowers, more than birds, and he is in control of all things, as that song that we saw the video of said, if he is that, then he can hold this moment, he can hold our lives, he can care for us in everything. See, if we set our hearts on the things of this world, it will lead to worries. But if we set our hearts on God, we don't need to worry. Now, we can think to ourselves, well, okay, that's a nice sentiment. How can we know that God loves us? How can we be sure that he loves us? Jesus points to the birds and points to the flowers, but we can also look to the ultimate act of love, can't we? Jesus' death on the cross, the fact he gave himself for us, the fact that God gave the most precious thing he has for us, that should make us look, we should look at that and go, God does love us. The evidence that we've got is the historic events of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. And the book of Romans then says, look, if God will give that, if God will give the most precious thing he has, there's nothing he'd withhold from you. Now, there may be a question that's come up in your mind. And we've got to be a little bit careful on this, don't we? Because the temptation will be for us to think that the logic, therefore, is, well, therefore, become a Christian, and you don't have any troubles. You won't have any problems. Well, that's not actually what Jesus promises. And you see, even at the end of the passage, it says, look at verse 34. He says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So Jesus is saying, not, oh, you'll be trouble-free, but he is commanding us to be worry-free. He's not saying troubles won't come. They will. But he is saying you don't need to worry about them. Because even through the troubles, he is our Heavenly Father. You see, we need to realize God is not promising that when troubles come, he will kind of helicopter us out of them. See, if you talk to a Christian who's been through real serious trials and problems, and you say to them, look, in that problem, did God helicopter you out of it? Well, sometimes God does. Sometimes God miraculously does something and just the problem is dealt with. But very often they will say, no, he didn't helicopter me out of the problem. He helped me get through the problem in such a way that I know his fatherly care for me even more than I did before. And that is more valuable to me than having been helicoptered out of the situation. What God promises us is that he will give us more of himself. And that is the most valuable thing that we can have. Now, you might think to yourself, but that's not what I want. I don't want to have illness. I don't want to have problems. I don't want to have the troubles. If I come to God, I want God to just take me out of those problems. But do you see what you're saying there is you're revealing your own heart, because you're showing that actually the most important thing to you is health, wealth, and happiness. And you're really set on the things of this earth. And we mustn't come to Jesus in order to get those things. We mustn't use Jesus in order to get the things of this earth. Rather, we come to Jesus to get Jesus, to get him. And that's what he promises us. And that's the path to trust. Now, I know as Christians, if you're a Christian here today, you'll still struggle with worries. We do, don't we? But we do know, logically, we shouldn't, don't we? And we need to keep battling them and keep handing those things over to God and say, God, I trust you that you're in control of this moment, of what's going on in my life now. You are my heavenly Father. I know that. And I need to trust this to you. So, finally, what will you pursue? Earthly treasures or God? Which will you run after? Which will you seek? Do you see again, verse 32, Jesus says, for the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Jesus is saying, look, you can run after the things of this world, or you can seek God's kingdom. You're pursuing one thing or the other. Which way are you going to go? Now, you could chase after the things of this earth. They do seem tempting. After all, everyone around us, so many around us, are seeking those things, even though they don't realise they are, even though they don't think of it in this way, they are pursuing earthly treasures. But we've got to remember they're temporary. They don't last, and they won't get you through to eternity. You can't have both. You can't pursue God and seek earthly treasures. And earthly treasures will inevitably lead to worry. But Jesus says, seek God's kingdom. And I want to urge you to seek God's kingdom. There is a matter of urgency about it. Jesus isn't just saying, oh, well, living a normal life is okay, but here's a better way of living. It's not a matter of good versus better. It's a matter of life and death. So seek God's kingdom. And you do that by pursuing Jesus, by finding more about him. Now, can I urge you, if you're not yet a Christian, to keep coming along to Emmanuel, to keep, because week by week we will be looking at the Bible and we look to see who God is, who Jesus is, as we go through the Bible. Keep coming week by week to explore that. Read your Bible. Maybe you've got one at home. Dig it out. If it's covered in dust, blow the dust off and read it. Start at one of the Gospels, I would suggest. Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. Look them up in the contents page, find them, and start reading about Jesus. Pursue God and his kingdom. And afterwards, if you want to chat to me about this, then do, and I would love to. I'd love to pop round if you want to and talk about things further. Loads of people think they know what Christianity is about. They think that it's all about being good or religious rituals. And you think, well, why would you go for that as opposed to earthly treasures? But Christianity is not primarily about those things. Christianity is about seeking God himself and knowing God and seeing he is of greater worth than all the treasures of this world. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we praise you for Jesus. And we thank you that he holds out to us the possibility of living for something that will last forever, that will last beyond this life, beyond this world. Father, please would you help us to see our own hearts and to see where we are tempted to put the things of this earth at the centre. And Father, please would you help us to turn to you and to seek you. Father, pray for any here today who are not Christians, who have not yet turned to Jesus, who have not put Jesus at the centre of their lives. that you would move their hearts to see how false it is to pursue the things of this earth and open their eyes to the glory of Jesus and to pursue him. Amen.